And next up on Free Radio, it's, well, that old show shows, Bathrop Spears Broadsides, the July 15th, 2018 edition. It's a long edition, but most of it's going to be taken up with a flashback back to April of 2010, 8 years ago. And we'll be talking more about what the details are of that in about an hour when the flashback begins. It's going to be a four-plus-hour flashback, so get prepared to flash way back or flashback for a period of time. And we'll hopefully have some interviews from current events. I'm going to try to catch a few people on the phone and play some more recent interviews from Saturday, the 14th, the Bastille Day, I might add. And well, let's begin, shall we?
I'm tired of moon songs, of star and of June songs. They simply make me nap. And ditties romantic drive me nearly frantic. I think they're all full of pap. History's making, nations are quaking. Why sing of stars above? For while we are waiting, Father Time's creating new things to be singing of. Sing me a song with social significance. All other tunes are taboo. I want a ditty with heat in it, appealing with feeling and meat in it. Sing me a song with social significance, or you can sing till you're blue. Let meaning shine from every line, or I won't love you.
So let's begin by trying to reach that sometime activist, sometime board of directors, chairwarmer Steve Plaich. He's called earlier, I guess it was either, I think it was yesterday, and he's got a busy schedule today, but we might be able to catch him as he's heading back to wherever he hangs out these days. Steve is a perennial city council candidate, though this year he ran unsuccessfully for Board of Supervisors. Steve Plaich!
Steve, sorry, I can't get you.
Nope, it's his answering machine. We will leave him a message, but that rarely helps. Hey, Steve, this is Free Radio Santa Cruz calling you. And I'm at 423-4833 if you wish to give us an update sometime in the next hour. We're talking between 8:30 and 9:30. I'm sorry, 7:30 and 8:30. So call me back. And I think we'll try... we'll try contacting Joyful Heart, who's the a man on the scene doing work at the Barbed Wire Boneyard, or as they call it, the River Street Campground. All right, so we have a we've interrupted Joyful Heart in the midst of his bed preparations. He's got a midnight shift coming up. How you doing, Joyful Heart?
I'm doing rather well, actually.
And you have gotten a 2-month extension there, or you and your fellow sleepers, until the end of August. But of course, what we left you with the quandary last time we talked was, what happens then? And do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, you know, the answer is still pretty much the same. I really don't know what the campers are thinking, and we really don't know what the city and the county are thinking. I mean, it's always possible that they'll extend again. Our speculation is that they might keep extending until they actually get phase two together. I don't know if they will or not. I mean, that's all just speculation until funding is approved.
Now, we should say that the River Street Campground is a campground that has about, what, 60 or 70 people with a relatively low turnover, right?
Not a really high turnover, no, but we do have a reasonable one. I mean, we do keep having people move up into housing.
How many people would you say have found housing?
Oh, gosh, there's that question again. well, let's see. couple weeks ago, we actually had my my next door neighbors went into Paige Smith. We had a young man go into an SLE recently. What else?
Well, those are helpful alternatives in the short run. They, of course, aren't really housing because those are programs.
I really can't say about the quality of the housing, but from my point of view, it's a porcelain toilet, you know.
Oh yeah. Well, I think also, what's been the change? And have there been any change or modification, either liberalization or tightening of the rules? You may recall that what we've mentioned and you've mentioned as well. You know, you can't have visitors in the campground. Can't people talk to people through the fence, that sort of thing. You can't walk up to the campground. But on the other hand, you have the privacy sort of a tent, although it's kind of cheek by jowl with other tents. And I imagine things are getting pretty...
It's a Japanese privacy, for sure.
I imagine things are getting...
We've got a status quo happening.
I imagine things are getting pretty hot in those tents in the summer, right?
Oh, yes. It can be very hot here sometimes. On hot days, the camp is empty. Everybody's downtown where it's cooler or out on the beach.
Mm-hmm. So has there been any modification of the rules?
No, it's a status quo.
I see.
Mm-hmm. And, I'm not really in a position to say why.
Have you had any interesting experiences in the campground that you want to pass on to us?
Well, gosh, that's the kind of question I'd have to think about for a bit, because there's all sorts of interesting things happening all the time. It might be interesting to me and my fellow campers, but might not be interesting to the outside world, because it's like we're very much like a family in here. A lot of events that happen in here are really like that, Things that happen within a family are usually...
So what kind of events have been interesting to you? I mean, I wasn't really asking you to, put up a pretty picture for somebody else, but rather something that means something to you, that struck you, if anything. If anything comes to mind...
I see the people here who are, they're... I mean, like I said, I have to stop and think for a while before I can pull out any single specific events. That's the way my brain works.
Okay.
But, I see a lot of cooperation between the people. Somebody needs something. Well, it's like we got people bringing in food and campers bringing in food, and we got little electronic devices they can use to cook. One guy owns a little cook pot. And he makes food. And people, as close to a barbecue cookout as we can do without being allowed to have open fire.
Is there much community in your campground, or is it mostly sort of individuals in their own tents, starting to lead their own lives?
Well, we have a few people who are individual, but there's a lot of community going on here. It's a lot of fun being part of this place.
And I guess the same question I asked you before, what's been your eviction rate of people based upon concerns about behavior or whatever?
Well, sometimes it spikes and we get two or three in a couple of weeks, and then we don't have any evictions for a month. So it's not really easy to say what the eviction rate is, because it's so extremely variable. Right now, it doesn't seem like we're going to be having any for a while, because it looks like everybody here is pretty much pretty stable, pretty okay with the rules. There again, nobody likes being forced to do the shuttle, but we're stuck with it. And so they're accepting of it, even though they don't like it.
Now, there are social service workers. This is one of the selling points they use at City Council, that come to the campground to allegedly provide services to people. How's that been working out in terms of your own sense of particular, praise from members of the campground that appreciated, or criticisms for, you know, it been not being what they hoped it would be?
Well, I haven't heard any criticisms. I haven't really seen firsthand any direct answer to your question, but it seems as though it seems to be appreciated. You know, the fact that it's more readily accessible. You know, I've seen people sitting over there and talking with the county lady who comes in three times a week, and quite often we have people coming in for a specific person. And, you know, having the person findable is a benefit to both of them.
Now,
I see that as happening, but I'm kind of busy doing other stuff.
Now,
regarding my own counsel, you know.
Yeah, now regarding that, you were, before you left on your travels and then returned to Santa Cruz, you would often be found either playing music on the wharf, or presenting yourself at the Swami Blanket near the coffee shop downtown, Coffee Roasting Company. Does that happen anymore for you personally these days?
Well, it happens in a modified manner. I'm not going out and busking anymore because, you know, I've got a real job now and I don't need to. But I do go down and walk Pacific Avenue at least once or twice a week. I like to do more, but my working overnight shift, it kind of drains my energy for doing stuff in the daytime right now. But I do go down and, while I don't sit, I do walk around and offer a spiritual presence of sorts.
Have you noticed much difference from the time, your earlier time on the mall 4, 5, 6, 7 years ago?
Well, there's physical differences, of course. I mean, it's not as many benches, not as easy to sit. There used to be smoking down there when I first got there. There's not now, so that's changed. I like all the vendors that are out. I wish there were more street performers.
Well, you know, I promised you, or I suggested this would be a 5-minute interview last time we talked for 45 minutes. You've got to get some sleep, and you've got work to do. Is there anything like to add that you think, you know, we should know about before you pop off to bed?
The only thing I have to say is, pursuant to Phase 2, the people who are in the neighborhoods, please come down and look at us. Come talk to us. We're not as bad as you think.
Hmm. And have you had much communication with the surrounding community in the last few weeks or months?
I haven't, but, nothing negative is positive in its own way. To talk about actual communications with the neighborhood, you know, maybe Chris Monteith might be a better person to talk to.
Hmm. The reason I mentioned it is there have been recent reports by Brent Adams on his Homeless Outside in Santa Cruz website of reports of violence against homeless by Take Back Santa Cruz types, and I wondered if you had heard any reports of any of your camp members experiencing any of that.
Haven't heard anything yet.
Oh, that's good.
I'm usually one of the people they come and talk to about it. So.
Oh, that's good. Well, thank you for taking the time, you know, and letting me squeeze myself in before bedtime.
You're always welcome, Robert.
Oh, thank you very much, Swami, or Joyful Heart, if you will.
Yes, you're very welcome.
All right. You get a nice rest. I'll talk to you again.
All righty then.
Bye-bye.
Blessings, sir.
And that was Joyful Heart, as he now calls himself, both a resident and an employed, I think it's $17 an hour worker out there at the campground. Always nice to see folks getting jobs. I'm not sure, however, what the money actually serves to do in terms of... I often think that large salaries, and this really isn't that large a salary, it's a living wage, kind of, although for a limited number of hours a week, as I understand it. Money that goes into administrative and salaries could go into the actual services, like a second campground or better resources, some cooling off center, I don't know, during the summer. I'm thinking mainly places for other people to go and sleep without being rousted by police or having their stuff stolen by Parks and Rec. But and that's a criticism that I think Brent Adams has also of the campground, although he's been loath to make any such public statements. In fact, the next thing I think I'm going to do is give him a quick call and see if I can get him to speak on the air. He's a little reluctant these days for fear of offending the authorities. And we're calling Brent here. He's usually doing storage around this time of day or just finishing up with his 24-hour
morning
storage.
Morning, Center
Program. Hey, Brent, this is Robert in Free Radio. You are on the air. Hello.
Hi, Robert. Can you hear me?
I can. You sound clear as a bell.
I'm on the boardwalk right now.
Oh, what are you doing on the boardwalk? I'm just goofing off there, Brent?
I'm here and having a meeting.
Oh. Well, you have time to talk or are you occupied?
I have 5 minutes.
Okay, well, you recently reported on Homeless Outside in Santa Cruz some concerns about violence against homeless folks. Any further developments there or any sense of what went down?
Well, it was bringing together a bunch of things that the reportage that I've been getting for the last 6 months that has been spiking over the last week, especially the last few days, when we're hearing, getting these reports of drunken... European males kind of being very aggressive downtown, knocking over planters, you know, and then beating people up, and then terrorizing people experiencing homelessness. We'll bracket that. That's one thing. The other part is people, you know, still not being secure in their stuff, to the point where the woman that I identified, weed as Warming Center have given her as many as 20 blankets over the last 6 months, and she doesn't take good care of them, but what's true is someone's pulling them off of her while she sleeps. Then there's the experience of people with physical disabilities having their wheelchairs and canes and walkers stolen while they're sleeping. None of this makes any real sense, but when we, and I have to be really careful about you know, it's the mindset that we're seeing that there might be the creeping onset of shades of vigilantism from maybe some of the more conservative community groups of our community, and I won't name them.
You don't have to. No problem. You also, here's perhaps a more controversial subject for you, which is the expansion or extension of the River Street Campground, or the Barbed Wire Boneyard, as I like to call it, for another 2 months. You've criticized this in the past, though. You've tempered your criticism with concern about the cost in terms of the number of people that are actually being served. What's your reaction to its extension and to the latest projected plans of the City Council around the so-called Project 2 or Phase 2 and Phase 3?
And I'll remind you at this juncture that my board has encouraged that I do not speak too freely about things that are not specifically related to the Warming Center program directorship. So that said, I will proceed saying that, yes, it's been shown that many, if not most, people within the encampment are not locals. They are picked from downtown streets team, and neither of those programs ask about or filter for how long somebody's been in town. Now, I typically don't care about that question, but I care about it when the program is limited in terms of people. people who can use it by, you know, by 50 people at the encampment, that if it's not mainly for people who are pre-existing here within, like, even, like, 6 months ago, then I don't understand, you know, why spending so much. But the decision to prolong it another 2 months, I think that when once they're in the thing, they're kind of stuck in the thing. But the worst part about it all is after that investment, let's call it, they're willing to shut the camp down if they don't have a step two or a place to transition it by the end of August. That seems crazy that they would then put people back out on the street. What we say with our nonprofit is let's find ways to shelter people with clean, safe, dignifying shelter by any means necessary. With our nonprofit, we build programs that are scalable. We don't ever turn anyone away. We find ways, by any means necessary, to achieve our end goal, which is completely different with the programs we're talking about.
Now, again, to remind listeners, this program that you're currently working on is a 24-hour storage program. You come in 7 to 9 or back at 5 to 7. You're located near the Broadway Laurel Bridge, near the stadium, the sports stadium. You have bins that people can put their stuff in overnight or during the day. And you are you don't cost anything, and you don't have any requirements.
Is that cutting out a little bit? What was the last sentence?
I say you don't cost anything, and you don't have any specific residency or other requirements.
No. So the distinction there is, since we're scalable and we never turn anyone away, we don't ask people about residency. If we were only going to handpick 50 people, then we would definitely make sure that they are people who are our homeless, not people who are recent transplants.
Yeah, I wasn't contrasting you with them. I was pointing out that you have a far more open policy. And you also mentioned
open policy. We don't ask at any point where somebody's from.
And, you know, when we spoke last time briefly, you said that you were hoping for an expansion of the program, hoping beyond hope for some assistance from the city or some other agency. How's that going?
We're focused right now on finding either a building, which we are in some talks with a few different landlords to establish the program, or if that doesn't work out, we're just going to buy a box truck and continue to operate it either at the location where we're at or within the next bridge up at SoCal location, a little more closer to downtown.
Mm-hmm. Finally, you have been you were instrumental on Monday in pointing out to the community the San Lorenzo bathrooms, long closed, have been reopened at least during part of the day. Any more commentary on that?
I'm happy that whatever protest advocacy might have had a role in it. Of course, you know, we've been putting the word out about those bathrooms for the last year since they were locked closed on Downtown Bathroom Task Force. I'm happy that they're open. I think it's a no-brainer. So, you know, but we'll credit anybody, you know, let's thank Martin Bernal and the new parks director, whoever. And it's the most humane thing to be doing. It's time to focus on the North Levee. There's no place to go back to the bathroom up there. There's excrement all around the North Levee. When I talk about North Levee, I'm talking about the Ross Dress for Less Levee area between Water Street and Highway 1. There's just no bathroom over there at all. Mm-hmm. And then Loudon Nelson, of course.
What experiences have you heard regarding police and Parks and Rec Ranger treatment of folks who are not in the programs and not, you know, they have no access to any kind of shelter at night?
We keep getting reports, good and bad. I think that once in a while there's a targeted effort to come out with numerous officers between 3:30 and 4:30 in the morning, citing everybody, waking them up. But I was out a couple nights ago to try to document that. And I witnessed people sleeping through the night all the way till like 9 in the morning downtown Pacific Avenue on benches. So I didn't see any experience like that. But, you know, it comes in waves. The Harvey West experience around the tracks to Coral Street, you'll see people congregating, and then they'll begin to gather, and after a couple of weeks, the police will come out and give everybody citations. So it's I wish we had more of a close contact with law enforcement so that we could actually, as advocates and activists, go let people know, you know, that it's time to, you know, how do we benefit people rather than penalizing them constantly. We call it displacement management, realizing that people are going to be facing citations. How do we help them kind of sidestep that?
You said 5 minutes. You've given us 10. Anything you want to conclude with?
No, thank you very much. I direct people to Homeless Outside in Santa Cruz at the Facebook page, where we document a lot of things. WormingCenterProgram.com, WormingCenterProgram@gmail, and then the hotline for all things homelessness is 831-234-9848. And thanks for thinking of me and letting me participate.
Hey, thanks for participating. Take care, Brent.
Health and happiness to you, Robert.
Hey, same to you, man. Bye-bye.
Hey, bye-bye.
And that indeed was Brent Adams. And let's take a musical break.
Be nice if we had an amendment to give civil rights to women, to once and for all just really lay it down from the point of view of women. I know what you're thinking, that's just redundant. Chicks got it good now, they can almost be president, but it's worker against worker, time and time again, because the rich use certain issues as a tool. And when I say we need the ERA, it ain't because I'm a fool. It's because without it, nobody can get away with anything cool. And you don't have to go far, like just over to Canada, to feel a heightened sense of live and let live. What is it about Americans, like so many pit bulls, trained to attack and to never give? We gotta put down abortion, put it down in the books for good, as central to the civil rights of women. Make diversity legal, make it finally understood through the civil rights of women. And if you don't like abortion, don't have an abortion. And teach your children how they can avoid them. But don't treat all women like they are your children. Compassion has many faces, many names. And if men can kill and be decorated instead of blamed, then a woman called upon to mother can choose to refrain. And contrary to eons of old-time religion, your body's your only true dominion. Nature is not here to serve you, or at any cost to preserve you. That's just some preacher man's old-time opinion. Life is sacred. Life is also profane. A woman's life, it must be hers to name. Let an amendment put this brutal gate women will still take you to their breast. Trust that women will always do their best. Trust our differences make us stronger, not less. Civil union. It takes unions of all kinds, unions of hearts and minds, to give society communion. Let's do more than tolerate. Let gay and straight resonate. Protection, intolerance finally ruined. And then there's the kids' rights. They'll naturally be on board the funnel through which women's lives are poured. Our family is so big, we're all so very small. Let a web of relationship be laid over it all, over the strata of power piled up to the sky, over the illusion of autonomy on which it relies, over any absolute that nature does not supply. Shall regain her place in a circle of women in a sacred space. Turn off the machines, put away the knives. This amendment shall deliver from bondage midwives.
And that was Ani DeFranco, the song from the album Which Side Are You On, called Amendment. And some of the online commentary. DeFranco is well recognized as a feminist icon, and this song finds her exploring civil rights for women, a topic few other female singers have sung about. She told the Independent newspaper, "I've had conversations with young artists, and they've said, your envelope pushing emboldens me. It's great to hear, but I wonder how far I can take it. If it's my job to go out on a limb in order to encourage others to climb the tree, how far along that limb can I go?" Okay, hang on. So I'm on the line with Amber of Berkeley, who is negotiating both vehicular difficulties and also technical difficulties here. I guess I'm negotiating those. So Amber, you were saying that your merry band of what, 40 or 50 folks in vehicles has been moving from spot to spot, previously at H.S. Lord's parking lot, but then forced from the city by the city to move and now moving back to a place where the city had set up some barricades. Fill me in on that.
Well, actually, our numbers have been greatly reduced due to the city's terror tactics of writing administrative citations and red tagging people and just general harassment. So our numbers have been reduced to a grand total of 7 live-in vehicles and then their accessory vehicles that people drive to and from work during the day.
Wow. Where have other people gone? Are you still in touch with them or not?
Yeah, we're very much still in touch. We're all very close, in constant contact with each other, actually. But a large section of us has gone to Richmond temporarily. They found a good back street there that's safe, that they're not being harassed on, and that the surrounding businesses are okay with their presence at. And then there's a couple of us that are in Berkeley, but not with the rest of us, because they're getting their vehicle smogged so that they can be legal. Then the rest of us are here in this clump, down here on the corners of 4th and Page in Berkeley.
Are you getting multiple tickets, or just being threatened, or are you being left alone?
Well, we got red tagged yesterday because one of the business, I don't know, owners or business people somewhere in this industrial area that we're in reported that there was 50 RVs down here that had moved here straight from the Berkeley Marina, which, like I said, there's 7 of us, but I guess 750 can easily be confused when you're just scared in general. So we all got red tagged yesterday and advised to go somewhere, but told we didn't have to go till sometime after the weekend because there's no one down here on the weekend. We're literally in the industrial area where there's nothing on the weekend. We're the only vehicles on the, and for at least a 5 or 6 block radius, we're the only vehicles here. Is just us.
Now, by red tag, red tag, you mean given 72-hour notice to move?
Yep.
I gotcha. So, do you have more plans afoot, or are these undercover, under wraps, so to speak?
As always, undercover and under wraps, but we do have plans still. We're not stopping. I mean, I just got an email forwarded to me the other day from way back before they threw us off of Marina Boulevard in the first place, wherein the mayor of Berkeley suggests to someone that how come we can't all just go to Emeryville or Albany rather than being parked at the Berkeley Marina as we were.
Yeah, why don't you get out of town, Amber? Come on now.
Right, you know, get out of town. You're too poor to be here, that's what they're saying, right?
Yep.
But I'm not having it. Neither are the rest of my crew, you know. The people in Richmond, they just kind of need a breather from the constant moving around, you know. It's real stressful on some people having to move so frequently. And it's understandable. I mean, nobody should have to move every 3 days or less just because they're alive and poor. But that's what Berkeley's reduced people to. So those who need a respite from this constant movement are in Richmond taking a breather, and the rest of us are still here holding it down in Berkeley, where we live and where we're proud to live and where we will be living till we die, probably, or at least until some justice is done.
Any more community support than before?
We have traditionally has residents of Berkeley that attend our community meetings on a pretty regular basis, and we're building support there. Our city council member, Cheryl Davila, who is just an absolute angel, she's holding a community forum on the 17th to rile the troops of caring citizens in the city of Berkeley to help them figure out and so that they can help each other figure out how best to help and support houseless people in this city.
And where will that be and when will that be?
I don't have the time yet or the place. They always tell me that last minute. But it is on the 17th. I can get that information to you as soon as I find out, though, because it's worthwhile. This is the third one of these events, and the first one that was held is what got all those supporters out to Marina Boulevard on Memorial Day when we were evicted from there, which, you know, took a lot of the terror and the weight off of us, you know, having people there with the upbeat attitudes and keeping spirits lively and assisting us with our big move, you know.
And Amber, how can people continue to follow what you're doing, as you've told me numerous times before?
they can go to Facebook and visit us at Vehicle Dwellers of the Bay or at Vehicle Dwellers of the Bay on Instagram or on Facebook also at Berkeley Marina Friends on Wheels. And there's also a petition at tinyurl.com/friendsonwheels that people can sign that every time they sign it, because it's on change.org, an email gets sent to the city council and I believe to the city manager telling them that yet another person feels that they should do right as opposed to how they've been doing.
Dig it. All right. Well, thanks. And we've been talking with
Amber Whitson of Berkeley Marina Friends on Wheels over here in Berkeley, California.
Amber, glad to hear you in apparent good spirits.
Absolutely. I won't let him get me down.
Yeah, well, right on. Take care.
All right, you too, Robert.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
And on Saturday, I was wandering around at the Food Not Bombs meal, which happens every Saturday and Sunday, 4 to 6, right next to the main post office in downtown Santa Cruz. And here's a series of interviews from, varied voices from that particular time. With
Rich Masseri.
Go ahead, Rich.
I found a great deal for anybody who shops at Grocery Outlet. I think they mispriced a bag of chicken breast tenders. 2 or 3 pounds of them is only $3.99.
Now, do you need a stove for this?
Yes, they're frozen, but it's normally like $12, $15 for something like this.
And where is this place?
This is right off of Morrissey by SoCal Grocery Outlet.
I won't tell them if you won't.
All right, very well. Thank you.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Any other thoughts, guys?
No, I'm fine. Thank you for the original food.
You're welcome. My
friend Zach.
Anything, Zach?
It's a beautiful day here in Santa Cruz. Good to be alive.
Yes.
And it's not too hot, really.
No.
It's nice.
Mm-hmm.
See, Chief is sleeping here.
Hmm.
Thank you, man.
Uh-huh.
Any reports from the street? No.
Wait.
Have you been falling in love lately yourself?
I'm hoping I am.
I wish you luck.
I know.
No hassles from police and so forth, camping tickets, yuck, yuck, yuck.
Always, but not too many lately. Been really good lately.
That's good. Or is it because you think police are backing off or you're just being...
I think they're on vacation.
It is a vacation time.
Yeah. Which is good. Or they're actually just becoming a lot more intertwined with their own love.
You're very positive.
Love's coming around the world.
Positive view here. Yeah.
I've been picturing love for a while. And that's one of the healing things of life, I think, is when we don't have love, we lose a lot of our feelings of life. We feel like we're dying. You know?
Love is good if you can find it.
Yeah.
We've been talking with?
Jethro Patterson.
Thanks, Jeff.
But you can just say Jethro.
Jethro.
From the Bible.
From the Bible. Thank you, sir.
King David.
Excuse me, sir. I think I recognize you from the lineup. You got sweat on your brow. You're coughing. Are you under a... What's going on?
You know, I'm actually in really good shape. I've just been taking a little bit of marijuana, which is legal as table salt, thanks to the good people and voters of California. And I was just looking at this great news about Trump and indictments being handed down on Benedict Trump, or Donna Dick Trump, whatever his name is, yeah. It looks like he's been selling us out by the pound, and then I thought about it, I said, I guess he's been selling us out by the dollars. The pound is English, isn't it?
Yeah. They are, yeah.
Okay, yeah, I'm really happy about that. We still have a lot of work to go, but that's a real big... A real big clog to start working on.
Only indict all the Democratic assholes, the Democratic Party people.
They're next. Comrade, brother, I feel you on that one, yeah. I feel you on that one, yeah.
Any positive reports from Parks and Rec's side of the fence?
Other than them, I guess they're right now, I'm not sure what they're doing. I think they're just really busy with all of the people at the beaches on these hot days. You can imagine what the beaches are like. And keeping toilet paper in the Twin Lakes bathroom is much more important than harassing us. And they finally got their dollars and cents on that.
So no tickets recently?
Not recently, but they could happen at any time.
Any property seizures?
They do go down and seize people's people's, you know, haven't bothered me, but I've heard of other people having their having them go in and have all of their stuff taken.
Recently, or
recently, yeah. It's this one of them, the main one is a sheriff that rides around in a little, like a little three-wheel truck, but it's more than three wheels, I think. But it's like that, that size, and he runs around. And he'll go straight down and grab people's bedding, and then take off. He got me, I guess, a couple months ago, but it hasn't been for a minute yet. Yeah. Well,
may your bedding be safe, son.
Thank you. Thank you.
We've been listening to the thoughts of
Ricardo.
Thanks, Ricardo.
You bet.
Now, you're a woman here. What are you doing sitting here? Are you? What's going on, woman?
What's going on, woman? Well, I'm sitting here participating in the Food Not Bomb Saturday evening feed.
And social gathering.
And social gathering.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'm not even hungry and I come here just to see it.
Singing or not?
Yeah, we're going to sing later on. I got Ricardo right here, and I love
Ricardo.
We'll
be out there. We will definitely
Ricardo
be out there.
Ricardo is so, he's been my coach. He's straight from God. I love him.
Couldn't do it without her. We couldn't do it without her. Without
he keeps showing up, and he keeps smiling. He is such a great example.
Any incidents from the street you want to account or recount or whatever?
What's the word on the street? Yeah. The word on the street. What's the word on the street? The word on the street is peace.
Heat.
Peace. Peace.
I like
peace
that.
To you. Peace be with you.
Yeah.
Rest in peace.
There's been no warlike activities against your musical group.
Rest in pieces.
Not lately.
Peace and ass.
Not
since
no.
My goodness. I mean, we may have to leave you here.
No, actually, no, I haven't. I haven't been singing since I got that ticket. Ricardo was with me when I got a ticket for singing Too Long in One Space. And, you know, I kind of joked and said maybe it was a sign from God that I need to go, like, sing in Europe. Because I've been singing too long in one spot. And I think that's pretty much it.
We hope you continue to sing and they continue to avoid ticketing you. But apparently they haven't been avoiding it. So we've been listening to...
This is Cooper.
Thanks, Cooper. Superman, what's your story?
Oh, my story is that, you know, if the Republicans are smart, they'll charge 50 cents a square for the toilet paper and 10 cents a minute for the bathroom door. That way we can keep the bathrooms open.
You mean our local Republican-minded people?
Maybe they are like that. Maybe the Democrats. Somebody's got to do something.
Are you having bathroom problems recently?
They are, man. Bowel movement problems is the shit, dude.
Any problems using a local bathroom?
Yeah. They're always closed.
There are no local bathrooms.
Now, when was the last time you attempted to use a pity potty?
I don't use them downtown because they're always closed, so I don't look for them.
Pity potty is a dangerous place to be.
It could be.
Yeah, you gotta get off the pity pot. You want to be on the
That's
pity
a pity
pot.
Party.
Get off the pot.
Sure, get off the pot, yeah.
But you can smoke pot.
All right, we're going to leave this free association gang. And thank you, sir. We've been talking
word association.
To Superman.
Right, it's old day.
Superman.
So, like, this couple of passing by.
Thank you. Thank you. Keep it coming. Keep it coming. One day I'll accept it.
The two people walking by a church.
Any street reports?
Yeah, when the cops beat me down and put my ribs through my lung, yeah, I got a report.
When was that?
About 4 months ago.
Where was that?
On Mission at Burger King.
And what, going to describe what happened?
Four guys of Take Back jumped me, and then the cops sat there in the openings in both driveways with their camera off and watched. That was Rodriguez and Vasquez. And then they kicked my dog to get it taken away.
Name of your dog?
Num Nums.
And about what time of day or night?
It was like about this time.
And where was anyone else around?
The manager of Burger King. He sat there and called the cops, and the cops sat there and watched until after they got off of me and I got up. Then they put cuffs on me and take me down and beat me, knocked my teeth out.
You're missing a front tooth.
That's actually right.
It's like at least maybe two front teeth.
Three.
Good grief.
And broke three of my ribs and put them into my lung. And the sheriff's department didn't catch it until 12 hours later, until I started puking blood and turning all different colors of green.
So you were held in jail without medical assistance?
Right.
What were you charged with?
Resisting arrest, assaulting an officer, public nuisance.
Well, we know that.
I can't go anywhere on Mission now, on the west side. I cannot go to the west side, period. where I live at, which is home. I can't even go over and visit my family. They have to come down and see me.
Now, did you plead guilty to all this crap in order to get out of jail? Or?
Pleaded no contest.
Same thing. But, I mean, how long were you in jail?
Over a month and a half.
And
I'm still going to court. I got another court date on 7/26 at 8:30.
Is it the same charge? Or?
Yes.
And I thought, so the no contest plea did not eliminate it?
Oh, they're still doing what they got to do. They're breaking down each charge for each court date.
Now, you say it was a Take Back Santa Cruz crew that went after you. How do you know that?
Because they said, we don't like your kind. We don't like the homeless. Get out of here, you homeless bitch bum.
It was Take Back Cruz minded, at least, even if it wasn't officially Take Back Santa Cruz. What do they look like?
They're Hispanic people, white, college boys.
Any, what did they say to you before this incident happened? How did it develop?
They pull in, they see me sitting there. They go, get out of here, you homeless bum. We don't like your kind.
Did they walk up or drive up?
They drove up. Pulled through the drive-thru and they said, if you're still here when we get back, there's going to be trouble. So I just sat there.
And how long before they came back?
As soon as they got through in the drive-thru, within 2 or 3 minutes.
And again, this was where again?
On Mission at the Burger King, right there by You Save Liquor.
And is this your first incident of violence in Santa Cruz?
No.
What happened was previously?
Last time? Was last year on the 4th of July when me, my uncle, and my two little brothers went out and we met Take Back for the first time. And they directly said my name to my little brother, and my little brother goes, what do you got to do with my brother? He ain't got nothing to do with you guys. And they beat him and his friend until they put one of them in the hospital. I walked out and said, hey, I'll be your huckleberry bitch. And then went to town on them. I knocked all of them out. And I said, now, tell your big boss, he wants to talk, come talk to me in goddamn cell.
Now, was this a different group than the same group that you saw?
Same people. They've been after me and my family out here on the street for a while.
Same-minded people, or would you say exactly the same individuals?
Same-minded people, same ones.
What about in the last 4 months? How have things been going?
Since I've been downtown working on getting my benefits going, perfect.
What about your nighttime sleeping scene? Is it safe?
Where I'm sleeping at now, yes. The security at the place I'm sleeping at does not have a problem with me being there.
Private or public property?
It's private property.
Are you alone or in company?
Alone.
And is that generally your preference? Or?
Actually, like we say out here, strength comes in numbers. And I'm a little nervous there being by myself, but I'm okay. I can handle my own.
And do you want to say who you are?
Jesse Angel.
Thank you, Jesse.
Thank you.
Sir?
Lawrence.
Lawrence, you're lounging on the sidewalk. What does this mean?
I'm taking care of my business.
And what kind of business is that?
Occupying.
I see. You're occupying about 2.5 squares of sidewalk.
Yes, sir. And I don't give a fuck what the government says.
And what's been your experience in the last few weeks in Santa Cruz? Anything come up you want to point out?
Yeah, me just blacking out and hitting the curve of my eye.
Want to elaborate a little?
People upsetting me and stressing me to get me to have blackouts. Not on a bicycle, but blacking out and not remembering nothing after that.
This is a sort of a... I know at one point you said you had a cancer problem.
It's still the cancer. It's now cancer coming out of my leg.
Showing me your right knee with...
Yeah, it's coming out there, here, and one on the other side.
Now, are you getting any kind of treatment?
Yeah, but it doesn't happen. They said I could go to sleep anytime and never wake up. Am I ready for it? No.
Well, what are you doing to prepare for it, if anything?
You're listening to him. You listen to him, not
he's
me.
He's your spiritual guy?
No, he's my...
Good friend and a brother.
All right, man. Any thoughts for the rest of us before I move on?
Yeah, tell the government to go.
That's perhaps.
Bleep, bleep, bleep.
Silent language for fuck off, I think.
Yeah, that's it.
Thank you, Lawrence.
That's 100% true. That's
all right.
I said government.
Hey, man.
How's it going?
happening? Tell me. Say they took someone away.
Took what?
You say they took the van.
No. Just the food, not bombs.
They'll be back.
Yes. That's fine.
Now you're an old time server here or a new time server?
New.
And how long have you been doing this?
About a month and a half.
And what's been your experience? You're going to keep doing this?
Yes, it's very positive. Very positive.
Go ahead. I'll let you serve.
Would you like some bread pudding?
Or
yam or something. That's really good.
And we'll let this person continue doing her serving. Thank you.
Not a whole heck of a lot going on. I'm being barred from several establishments.
Such as?
Well, let me think. The Western Service Workers Association.
How did that happen?
Starbucks. I'm not sure. I gave hours of quality volunteer work, and I was told I couldn't volunteer there because I was homeless, which is prejudice.
Okay.
I'm not entirely certain that it has anything to do with the association itself, but possibly high offices in this country that have.
So when was this bar announced to you?
This bar.
This ban. You're coming to the.
Well, that was about a month ago. But seeing I've been.
How many times have you visited there before?
Many times before. There's actually one 86 that I was very that disrupted my sensibilities quite a bit. I've been also barred from the St. Francis Soup Kitchen for no apparent reason. I got the police. They had the police there. I didn't make a scene. I got their badge numbers. There was no reason given to me. Actually, he told me that I had spit, and the chief alderman there, or whatever he was, the project manager, he told me that I had spit on somebody and told them to F off downtown. But I don't know how he could be downtown and at the St. Francis Soup Kitchen at the same time.
Had you spit on somebody downtown and told them to fuck off?
Not to my knowledge.
Would you have a recollection of that, do you think?
I spat on somebody's car, but I don't know how he would know about it.
I see.
He would have to be at two different places at once.
Maybe the car filed a complaint.
Yeah, possibly. We have a Herbie.
When were you banned from St. Francis Soup Kitchen?
This is about 2 days ago, a day ago, yesterday, 2 days ago.
What impact has that had on you, if any?
I have no means of taking a shower, which is crucial to my hygiene.
You still smell okay, by the way.
Oh, thanks. Which isn't my concern, you know. It's like, I don't mind being dirty. The problem is that I need to take care of my personage.
Now, you say Starbucks has also told you to hit the road?
Starbucks has also told me to hit the road. Also for probably, you know, something relative to improper denial, or maybe just improper denial itself.
Any experiences with the other Starbucks, the one that up the road here on Ocean?
No experiences there. I haven't been to the one on Mission Street.
Now, we're doing a series of protests around the reopening the bathrooms at Loudoun Nelson Center and City Hall. Have you had any experiences with the bathrooms that come to mind, either positive or negative?
There's always been a problem downtown with public restrooms and parking. Especially if you're a homeless person, it's difficult to downtown, which is where usually you would, you know, I don't know, promulgate, amble, you know, make yourself domicile. That would be your dominion, would be downtown. That's where most of the baggery.
Problems getting into a bathroom.
Oh yes, of course. Like, the Loudoun Nelson has been closed down for months because of quote-unquote vandalism. They just opened up the bathrooms of the San Lorenzo Park, which I just used today.
How are they?
They're nice. It's like a chrome toilet without a lid. But, I mean, that doesn't matter. It's a bathroom.
But there's no sink there, right?
There's no sink in there.
Except for the women's room, I understand.
That I'm not aware of. That's interesting. I don't know.
Any tickets at night for sleeping or harassment in that regard?
Not in that regard.
That sounds good.
I mean, I've had harassment sleeping. Like, I was, like, arrested for sleeping on the Palmadium, which is totally antiquated. I'm dealing with a lot of back-ass-word, old-world, you know, crypto-Americana bullshit.
Now, when was this harassment? When did this happen?
Long time. I don't know. It's been, like, continual. There was something else I wanted to say. I'm being punished for things I should be rewarded for in this country.
An example would be?
working hard for 7 years and paying my income tax, and now I can't work in this country. That's just one example. There are many others.
How long have you been in Santa Cruz?
Involving a word that starts with a P that I can't mention. Oh, I've been here my whole life. I was born and raised. I was born in Dominican Hospital in 1994.
Any sense of how things have changed, if they have here?
I don't know. It's become a little bit more commercial. There are a lot more people from, like, Silicon Valley, I would say. You see a lot of people wearing sportswear. But, I mean, there's still, you know, with the college and everything, there's a lot of people who are, you know, part of the bohemian crowd or, you know, people who, you know, you would conventionally, well, you would traditionally call hip. Traditionally hip. If you can say such a thing.
Fair enough. Anything you want to conclude with?
Nothing in particular, just up with people.
And we've been listening to...
Oh, Eric Villasenor of Santa Cruz County. Oh, why me worry?
Thank you, Eric.
Oh, yeah, anytime.
Quick interview for Free Radio. Talking with...
Jeremiah.
Jeremiah, you say a few days ago a car hit you. They did stop, but they didn't get out of the car to help you.
They didn't get out of the car to help me, but eventually, after asking them to get out of the car, they did understand and pull over, and they compensated me for the damage caused to my bike, and now I have a new bike, which is going good. I just think the traffic in this town needs to realize that there are pedestrians on the street, and that they do have the right-of-way, so if you do see them on the sidewalk, to slow down and let them cross, because it is definitely hot out here, and I know the traffic needs to get to wherever they're going, but also the people need to get to where they're going too, and It's a lot slower on foot than it is in a car, and it's a lot more dangerous when cars aren't paying attention.
And more fatiguing.
Yeah, and more fatigue.
Anything else you want to comment on?
Nice day. Nice day, nice weather.
As you were saying. And we've been listening to... Huh? You want to say who you are?
Oh, Jeremiah. Yeah.
Thank you, Jeremiah.
Yeah, no problem.
The center doesn't have any trash cans on the street anymore.
They almost lack a services center?
We're trying to find out why.
And I know that I've seen a lot of number of tents up nearby. Are they still driving away people who are tented out in front of the homeless lack of services center?
Well, they're scattered around there for a couple blocks. But the cities took the trash things out. Nothing came back. We're entitled to know what the hell's going on. The train today had to stop numerous times. He had to keep beating his horn. With so much trash there. Probably got a couple of volunteers to move the trash out of the way. I don't know.
Did you say that the train had to stop?
Yeah.
Because the train tracks are about a block away from the homeless lack of services center.
When they had to cross the freeway during that period, it was like a stop and go, stop and go. And the traffic was lined up on Encino Street for quite a ways.
This could be a new way to protest abusive behavior by the city.
Well, somebody needs to say, oh, we'll send some trucks out there. We'll leave some trash cans so they have something to put it in.
What's your overnight situation, if you wish to say? Are you outside at night these days?
Oh, yeah.
Have you found a place that's relatively safe for you? Are you losing your property? Or what's going on with that?
It's not safe. I've had stuff stolen. I've had serious threats. I had to be careful how my body is placed so I could see something coming. But last night I spent the night in Monterey County at the teen center. Safer there. You don't have to worry.
You don't look like a teen to me.
Very cool. I don't tell them all that I know.
Uh-huh. So you don't show them your ID?
No.
I misjudged you.
So I know you spoke at the rally back in late June at City Hall demanding that the Loudoun-Nelson and other bathrooms be reopened. Have you had any further experiences with bathrooms around town?
I mean care with respect, not disrespect.
Do you have to know the best tree to go through are a bush? Traffic and out, and many people are out in the middle of the night. Otherwise, you're going to be breaking the law, no matter where you're at. That hasn't improved at all.
Okay. Now, you. What about your daytime use of bathrooms? How's that been going?
Put the bike on the side of the road.
When I'm at my storage, I have a container. So I got a place I can put it in and make use of it.
So you have to essentially supply your own commode.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
But they're trying to... They're not agreeing with that at all.
I can understand. But they don't...
go way over to Harvey West Boulevard just to take a leak.
And they don't have a bathroom there for the people who are using storage.
Oh, no.
So you pay, but you don't get to pee.
But...
And we've been talking with
Ray.
Any other thoughts, Ray?
For now, that's about it.
Oh, do you need them? We're planning to do some tabling at the Loudon Nelson Center on Tuesday afternoon, about 1:30, in Laurel Park. To kind of keep an eye on what they're doing there, get petitioning and that sort of thing. If you're interested.
Okay, I will be there.
Day after tomorrow.
What I'm concerned about is why the services are for trash from the city. Why isn't somebody out there right now?
Yeah, because they don't give a shit, or they have intentionally want to ignore people.
That's it. With all the answers we got.
What kind of fish you think?
And if I could talk to the right police, and I've done this in different communities over the years, I'd say it's not a big deal. We'll go on that private property with authorization, and we'll clean up on that side of the fence. This side we'll clean, or we sweep it clean. It's not hard to do. I've done this, I don't know how many times, for years.
Yeah, how dare you?
When I had a bunch of properties in one area, everything where I had homes on, I was on top of things, and it wasn't hard to get help to keep the streets clean.
I was reading up on
and make sure trash wasn't left on the ground and stuff like that.
I knew how to fish.
Everybody gets to carry around their own poo in a bottle. Everyone carries around their own shit in a bottle. Sad situation.
You know what the best help was? Grade school kids that would come to my help. They said, "How are you going to do that, Mr. Ray?" And I said, "All you people, go tell your friends. We're going to do this." It worked. It worked beautiful.
Do what?
The kids all come in until every door in our subdivision at that time was knocked on, because we're here to get all the trash out of the subdivision.
Talk about cleaning up the trash.
Yep. And we get even the police to come over and say, "Kids, you need to be thanking the kids." Absolutely. That's what we're doing. But it's not hard to make something like that work.
Gotcha. And again, we've been listening to
Ray.
Thank you, Ray.
Yes, Ray?
Yes.
And Leroy is a librarian.
Right.
He says there's a city ordinance, so you cannot be there until it opens. Well, people that have walked a long ways have a place to sit. Well, I sit in front, and I really don't think it's a big deal that I'm sitting in front. And some people at Cruz had said to me about what I was going through. So I said, "Hey, I'm a trainer. Why don't I have any money? Why am I homeless?" He comes out and says, "Hey, get off the property." He says, "The city ordinance." Well, I go, "It says missile city ordinance." I said, "There's no number. It looks like a fake sign." He says something. I go, "You're a fag." And he goes, "What?" And I go, "I'm going to smoke you." And my dad, Benjamin Netanyahu, will smoke you. He just comes out. He goes, "Get off the fucking property." I don't know. He came down. I don't know if it was that word. He came out, you know, looking at me and stuff. And he goes,
What time were you there initially?
Good morning. I don't know exactly what time. And he says something. His name's Lee. I go, "Who are you, Lee?" And I turn my back, and he lights up a cool cigarette. He started walking. I got really scared, because right when I turned around, he was like, "Turn around," and started coming at me. So I started walking in the street, and I was getting ready to leave by the parking area where you pay. And he goes, "You're smoking." I go, "You're a fag." He goes, "You called me a fag?" "Yeah, I called you a fucking fag."
Now, who called who a fag?
I called him a fag. Okay. And he says, "Well, what if I pull my nuts out and put it in your mouth and in your hand?" I go, "I will kick the shit out of you. If not, I'll put a fucking bullet in your head." So obviously he went back down and talked to David Tartares, that she has my BMW. It's proven he has my BMW.
That's the mayor.
Yeah, he's part of this whole scandal.
So now you talked to him or he talked to him?
I don't know. I just heard him down there mouthing out. I just tell us. You know, his EVP recorded just like this.
Okay. Have you been back to the library?
Yes, and then later on, I was sitting off. I came back, and the gentleman's security guy had wanted to give me a paper, something like this. I wouldn't take it. I said, "Hey, get away from me. Right. So you can't talk to me. I don't want to talk to you." And then he went back.
The same guy?
No, he was a security officer. And he went back in. I stood there for a while, and then I went across the street. I said, "Hey, come here. I want to talk to you." I said, "Look, I guess I'm going on. I had to come here and talk to Chris Younger, the one from Encompass that counseled me a little bit and we talked about the homeless stuff." And so I just told him, I just sent a message that I came by and something happened. So I left. He said, "Well, you're banned for 30 days. So I don't understand why you're banned for 30 days for calling this guy Leroy or Lee a fag." So I don't understand why you banned for 30 days for calling one person. But I didn't call anybody in the library. It wasn't inside the library, so I didn't understand why.
You feel it's a free speech issue.
Well, it's a public library. Why is there trespassing? Why can't you be there at a certain time? It doesn't make sense. There's police officers around there. You got the city hall there. This officer around, so it doesn't really matter.
They don't want your kind around there.
My kind, huh? Check this out. So later today, or earlier today, I went there. I heard Christian tell us, said, just wait. So here I left. He was checking me out, and he went down somewhere else. I went across the street, sat in front of City Hall, because I was waiting for my brother to pick me up, which she hadn't picked me up. So she said, go in there. Just sit at the corner.
Hold on.
Yeah. Sit at the corner and wait, because I want to see what he says. And make sure you can go in there. Chris Young runs Encompass. Nope, that's homeless school. For the homeless people.
And where was this?
At the library, Santa Cruz Library, right there on the center.
Where's Encompass?
Encompass is on 380 in Tenoya.
So you went over to Encompass?
No. She meets there for the homeless people. And she helps people with different things that the homeless people, the shelters offer and stuff. Get people to the shelters or get people at River Street, the Coral Street or whatever, okay?
This was the Thursday morning thing that they have at the library, in front of the library?
No, this happened today, but there's also a Thursday morning thing that they have for coffee, which is a great thing. I love it because you drink the coffee and talk a little bit and find out what's going on. So she had told me, because I heard it in Encompass, I'll tell you a little bit more about something else when we're off the mic. So she said, sit at the corner of the benches and wait, because I want to see what happens. And I heard somebody say, hey, can I go in? Somebody said, yeah, you can go in. So I went in there and I sat down.
Into the library.
Yeah, I went in the library, got on the computer.
After you received this?
No. I didn't get this till today. Okay. You didn't receive it till, okay.
I got you.
I got this today. The other day I didn't get it, so I said, I don't take that.
Right.
He said, you're banned for 30 days, whatever. Actually, for saying that, so Leroy, Lee's a fag. We just call him a fag. And then he says, well, if it's not so, I can put him in my mouth and put him in my hand. I said, well, fuck you, I'll put a shit out of you. So it doesn't make any sense. He threatened me because I said, call him a fag, so he must pull his nutsack on me. It doesn't really make sense.
So the two of you essentially exchanged insults.
Yes. So Jay's like, so I go in there, I get on the computer, and I find out that actually I designed the RIMAC. RIMAC. RIMAC.
Which is?
A vehicle, an electric vehicle that's been in Geneva. Geneva, this car is a very, very fast car. It's electric. It's 1,980 horsepower, or watts. It goes 0 to 300 kilowatt an hour in 11.8 seconds. So I had a great time. I started talking to the Lord. I said, Lord, I said, I have a nuclear jet Donald Trump had built. It's on a property, a military base for me. And this is true. You'll find out. And it's tarpon. It's a chrome tarpon. They put a marijuana in it. And it's combustion. It's a tarpon. Well, they put the E81.
What was the outcome? And mercifully, we're out of time for the rest of this discussion. It was a little incoherent as far as I was concerned, and not on a topic that interested me too much, so I left it behind. And now we're going to leave the present behind with a flashback to April 18th, 2010. The main subjects under observation are going to be there's one primary subject, which is the police attack on street performers, or I should say the rather subtle, pervasive crackdown of street performers that was happening 8 years ago and actually has continued in different forms since. You'll be hearing lots about it, so I don't need to describe it in detail other than mention it. We're going to have several guests. First, Troublesome Tom Levitt, who did the show right before mine, will be my co-host through much of the show. And then we will have a guest, Tom Noddy, Travelin' Tom, as I called him, the Bubble Man, a world-famous bubble performer who also helped to design with the voluntary street performers guidelines here in Santa Cruz that were cast aside and essentially aborted by the Santa Cruz City Council in 2002. Thanks for listening to this edition of Bathrop Spears Broadsides. I'm hoping that our archives will be back on track soon under Lost Shows on the HuffSantaCruz.org website. We will be doing a protest tabling at the Loudon Nelson Center day after tomorrow on the 17th of July at 1:30. So come on down if you'd like to be helpful in that. At 11 o'clock on Wednesday, the 18th, there's going to be another meeting of Conscience and Action at the Sub Rosa Cafe as we continue direct action projects to restore human rights and accountability to Santa Cruz, specifically in terms of those in positions of political power. I'll be back on Thursday with another edition of Bathrob Spears Broadsides at 6, assuming that I bother to show up. If you like the show and you have news reports for me, do call in on the Huff line. That's Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, the group that will be sponsoring the tabling on Tuesday at the Loudoun Nelson Center to get those bathrooms reopened at 423-HUFF, 423-4833. Thanks, and see you next time.